Blog Talk Radio.
You're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. We want to welcome all the listeners and callers. We're doing our show number four, actually the fifth show at our kickoff show back on the 9th. Everything's going really good. We want to welcome everybody back to the program. Thank you guys for listening once again. Today we're going to get into a lot of information, a lot of topics. Last Tuesday we had a great show, a lot of callers calling in, so we expect you guys to call in once again. The call-in number tonight is going to be the same, 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. Definitely want to call and hear you guys' opinions. You can reach us online at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. And, of course, I'm you guys' host, RF. Of course, y'all know my co-host, Royce, who will be on in just a minute. But we want to make sure you guys reach us at the call-in number. You can reach us on Twitter, and you can follow us at RF Sports Radio on Twitter or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. With so many stuff going on today, we're going to get into a lot. We're going to get into a lot of NFL. We're going to pick some games in Week 3. And I will remind you guys, I went 10-6 in Week 2, so you might want to listen to that part of the show. We're going to get into some fantasy football, a little NBA talk, some college football talk, and a whole bunch of fun stuff. And whatever you guys got on your mind tonight is up for grabs. The question tonight is going to be, we have two questions, actually. Before I bring those questions on, let me welcome in our co-host, Royce. Royce, are you there?
Hello, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. Ready for some football, some sports talk. Let's get it on.
Ready for that. Now, with the question tonight, and you let me know what you think about this question, we got two questions tonight. We want to know, number one, what do you think is the hardest position to play in sports? And this could be any sport. It could be catcher in baseball, pitcher in baseball. Could be quarterback in the NFL, quarterback in college. It could be point guard in the NBA. So we want you guys to call in and voice your opinions because we want to know, what do you feel like is the hardest position to play in sports? And then our number two question is, and of course I got to have this question, Royce, as you know, being a Cowboy fan that I am, and that question is, fill in the blank. The Cowboys need to do blank to beat the Texans. So I want all my Cowboy fans to call in. If you're a Texas fan, you might want to call us and tell us why we're not going to beat y'all. But we definitely want to hear from y'all, and the questions are going to be, of course, the first question, what is the hardest position to play in sports? The number two question today is, what do the Cowboys need to do to beat the Texans in Week 3? Now, Royce, what do you think? What do you think is the hardest position to play in sports?
Well, right now, I got two positions on that. Number one would be pitching, because you care and the rest of the team. You can win or lose by pitching. And I'm going to say the quarterback position. Same thing. You can win or lose quarterback. So I'll say those two probably to me are the hardest position to play. What about you?
Well, I'm going to have to say quarterback, of course. I mean, quarterback is the face of a franchise, the face of a team. And as you and I have talked about several times, the team kind of goes as the quarterback goes. A good quarterback can take you a lot longer than any other position on the field, a running back, wide receiver, whoever. But the quarterback really makes the team go and has that build that morale and to be the leader of the team. So I think quarterback in the NFL is the hardest position to play. Baseball, I don't necessarily think it's a pitcher. I really think it's a catcher. Because if you think about it, the catcher has to call the pitches to the pitcher. He has to watch the entire infield, make sure no one's stealing, make sure everyone's in position, and he's got to kind of be the quarterback out there for the pitch. I know the pitcher's got to throw the ball and do his thing, but the catcher's got to be the person that actually calls the pitches and everything of that nature too. So that's why I think that definitely the catcher's got one of the hardest jobs out there. So you didn't think about the catcher, did you?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can say the first baseman. But to me, it's pitching. Because you can't win a championship without good pitching. You know, usually in a playoff game, the batting goes down, but pitching goes up. You know, a lot of games are won by pitching. So, you know, you could be right. It's a matter of opinion. You know, some people might use different, but to me, I think pitching is, you know, that's what made the Yankees so great all these years, with great pitching. You know, and then this year we had so many no-hitters. You know, we had a record number of no-hitters this year. So, you know, it's just a personal opinion. It's just whoever, you know, you think is right. It's a personal opinion.
And you're right. It is a personal opinion, so we'll make sure we can include everyone and get you guys' opinions. Again, the call-in number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. You can reach us online, blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports, email rfsportsradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio. Now let's talk a little bit about the NFL a little bit, since that's the biggest topic. That is the biggest sport worldwide, in my opinion, although I know soccer's pretty big too. There's some teams this week that are going with new life in the quarterback position. It's week three. A lot of these guys are already pulling the trigger, getting these guys out, pulling in new quarterbacks. Now, usually, and I'm going to ask you your opinion on this too, Royce, when a team switches their quarterback, that's either a sign of desperation, it's either a sign of panic, or it could be that spark that they're trying to generate in the team to kind of turn the team around. I can remember back in my playing days now. To me, I played semi-pro football. Now, well, let me clarify that first. I played high school football in Texas. And high school football in Texas, to me, is semi-pro. The way we played high school football in Texas is a lot different than some of the other states across the country. But I know there's a strong contingent in California, Florida, as well. So I won't take away from anyone else. But I can remember being on that team. And the team that we had, we always had our favorite quarterback. He may not have been the starting guy, but he was everybody's friend. He was the guy we played with in Little League that we felt like should have been a starter, but maybe he couldn't get his grades right. Maybe he didn't work as hard as his other guy. So we had our favorite that we wanted in the quarterback position. And we always told the coach, put him in, put him in, put him in. And I remember when we made a quarterback change, the whole morale of the team was totally different. So a lot of times the quarterback change is something based on the players. It could be something that the coach sees, or really brought on by the fans with the way the media and stuff is now with social networking, people leaving comments on blogs. And don't get it twisted. These coaches read that information. These owners read that information. They do listen to SportsCenter. They do listen to talk radio. So they hear the contingent out there that says, hey, we want this guy, we want that guy. So we don't know if it's the owner's decision to try to put more butts in the seats. We don't know if it's the coach's decision based on what he saw in practice and what he feel like is going to work. We don't know if it's a fan's decision, or a player's decision, I should say, as far as who they want to lead that team. A couple of the teams that are going with new quarterbacks this week, Jason Campbell. I thought you'd get a good start out there in Oakland. It's like your chance is it's been over kind of early. They're going to start Gradkowski in Oakland. I mean, I don't know what to make of this Jason Campbell kid. I know he came out and highly touted. He had his time in the Redskins offense, but what quarterback has succeeded in Oakland? I mean, ever since they had that magical year and got deep into the playoffs, and with John Gruden at the helm, but what quarterback has ever succeeded in Oakland? You think they're pulling the gun too fast on this Jason Campbell deal?
Well, you know, Rodney, that's a good question you brought, a good topic you brought tonight, because this is the first time I can remember in a long time that this early in the season where everybody's switching quarterbacks. What I think has happened now, these defenses have gotten so complicated, and these schemes and these stunts have got so complicated that it's, you know, these quarterbacks can't grasp it, you know, hard enough. And these owners are getting desperate to beat these new defenses. So a quarterback could come out and have a really bad showing. It's not really affecting them, but it's how the defense plays nowadays. And I can't remember a time in the NFL where a quarterback change that came this early in the season. I think it started with Matt Liner in Arizona. You know, I was surprised to see them let him go. But I also think that I think it's because of the defenses nowadays, the reason why these quarterbacks are not having such success. You can look at Brett Favre. He's one of the, you know, he even struggled, you know, and a lot of them struggle, a lot of them do. And these pocket quarterbacks have become a thing of the past. If you look at college sports and even back all in high school, these quarterbacks are part quarterbacks slash running backs, you know. And these defenses have gotten so now that you have to be mobile. You know, the days of pocket quarterbacks, I think, are over with. So, it's awfully early to be changing quarterbacks, but I think, you know, it looks like everybody wants to get a leg up. Everybody's desperate to win. You know, I guess you could try to jump out and win so many games while you can before the end of the season, because either you win at the beginning of the season or win at the end of the season. And I think it's how you finish, you know, nowadays. But everybody's trying to get a leg up, you know, today. I think it's I've never seen this before. This is kind of strange to me. You know,
yeah, I agree with you 100%. It is only week three, and a lot of these teams are just panicking. Most of these teams are 0-2 right now, and they're just really trying to get a leg up. Another quarterback is going to be getting a start week three is Jimmy Clausen, the quarterback from Notre Dame. He's going to be starting in Carolina. And I think this is really a desperation move, too. I think Matt Moore showed everyone a lot at the end of the season last year, and I know Moore's kind of banged up and having some difficulty and everything, but I like Jimmy Clausen too, so I can't say I'm biased one way or the other because I like Clausen. I thought he was a good quarterback in Notre Dame. I thought they had a great offense. He's had experience on the Twilight Weiss, a proven NFL offensive guy, so he knows how to run a pro offense. I think that played a huge factor in him getting a start at Carolina. But I think that they want Jimmy Clausen to be that guy, so hey, why not start him now is where I look at that.
We know if you look at the last 3 years in the draft, most of the top 10 picks have been quarterbacks, you know, and that says a lot, too. It's time for these guys that's been there a year or two because the greater quarterbacks you have now are getting older. Look at Brett Favre. You know, a lot of these guys are in their 30s, you know, and everybody's looking for that redemption, especially the teams that aren't winning now. Are looking for that savior to come in and be the guy he was in college. So I think it's, you know, they drafted a lot of quarterbacks, you know, in the top 10 the last 3 years, and it's time for these guys to come in and produce. A lot of them have watched for a year. And then this year, a lot of them are starting, which goes to show you the desperation that's going on in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? They want the same magic that they had in college, you know. I think that's what they're looking for. Do you have it? You know, can you bring the spark the team needs? So you know, it's different nowadays. What do you think about the defenses? You know, when I stated about the defense, do you think that has anything to do with it?
I think the defenses are being schemed really, really well. If you notice, if you're watching the games on Sunday or Monday, you'll notice how a lot of these defensive players are stand up the whole time while the quarterback's calling the cadence. They don't even get a hand on the ground.
Right.
They move around. Right. They want to get too much away before the snap counts. So with these defenses in a team like that, I think it's even harder for a guy like a Jimmy Clausen or some of these younger quarterbacks to grasp it right away. But when you invest so much money in a guy coming out of college, it's kind of like a show and prove type of deal. The way the pay scale is worked out, these guys get all this ton of money before they're proving anything in the NFL. And if you don't believe me, I mean, look at the case with Jamarcus Russell. This guy's not even in the league.
Oh, yeah.
He made a ton of money coming out of
the league. Matt Leinart, too. He's gone, too. Yeah.
Exactly. Matt Leinart, too. And so these guys have got and I think the days of – in this win-now mentality in the NFL, you can't have a draft a guy in the first round and expect him to be there 4 years or 5 years like they develop Aaron Rodgers behind a guy like Brett Favre. It's just not going to happen like that no more. It's a win-now mentality, and we need a win, period. I think that's why a lot of the reasons for the quarterback changes and stuff are coming up. And these defenses, they're not running 4-3s, even regular 3-4s. You got these hybrid linebackers that are built like freaks of nature. They're 6'7", 6'6". They can run below 5 on the 40. 4-3s, 4-4s, 4-5s. With a defense like this, you got to have a mobile quarterback like the point you brought up earlier. And these pocket passers, I mean, without an offensive line, there is no pocket passing.
Right.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Another guy getting the start is going to be Charlie Batch, and that's due more to the injury to Dennis Dixon. But Batch is a proven start. I don't think they'll miss a beat with that. And Pittsburgh right now, the defense is winning all their games anyway. And Fitzpatrick is going to start for Edwards. Well, after the poor showing that Edwards had last Sunday, it could be anybody starting back there for the Bills. They got a lot more holes in their team than just
quarterback.
Just
right.
What they got at quarterback. Yeah, exactly right. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think played the biggest role, and what do you think does play the biggest role? Is it the fans that demand, hey, we need a change? We're not going to the games unless we get some kind of hope, some kind of life, or is it the coaches? Who do you think really has the most pull in the decision? Is it the fans, the coaches, or the owner?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like you said, we talked a couple of weeks ago about attendance being down, you know, and a lot of these big-time quarterbacks that came out of college that were drafted, you know, they want to put them in the position now to bring the fans in, you know what I mean? So I think it's a little bit of both. A lot of owners want to get a leg up on everybody. Everybody wants to beat Jerry Jones. And I think everybody wants to play the Super Bowl with Jerry's house. So I think it's a little bit of both, you know, I really do. But I think it's more so the fans because, you know, you don't win, you don't get attendance. You know, you win, everybody wants to go to the game. So I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And we know that Jake Delhomme is reportedly still dealing with the high ankle sprains. He's questionable to start in Cleveland, so we'll see what happens there. I'd like to see the rookie get a start in Cleveland, old Colt McCoy, but it seems like they won't even put this guy in the game. So I don't know what's going on.
He'll be in before the season's over, I guarantee you. He'll be starting.
So. Yeah. I would hope so.
Well, let me ask you a question, Rodney.
Go ahead, Royce.
Okay, what about your Dallas situation? You think it's time for a change of quarterback?
Oh, man. And that, you know what? Now you bring that up. Let me just say this real quick. Let me tell you, all our listeners, a quick story, okay?
Right.
I was sitting down today, okay? I get a text message from a good friend of mine, okay? He says, hey, the Cowboys are thinking about making a change in head coach right now. And if I don't tell you, I feel like I had just woke up on Christmas Day. And I was a five-year-old. I felt like I was a kid in the candy store. Because and here's the thing. He told me that they had already contacted Bill Cowher and made some kind of arrangement. They were going to do something as quick as Monday. Now, just in case, Jerry, you listening or you find our show on any kind of podcast directory or you find our show online, if Bill Cowher tells you he will coach this team, I don't care if
tomorrow.
It's an hour before kickoff on Sunday, okay?
Right.
Fire away Phillips if Bill Cowher tells you he wants to coach this team. And not just Bill Cowher, but if Tony Dungy tells you he wants to coach this team.
Right.
If John Gruden
right.
tells you he wants to coach this team, okay?
Right.
Let the man go. I don't care if it's halftime and we're up by 30 points. Let this guy go. So when you bring that up, I had to tell that story because I honestly thought we were going to have a killer show today and announce a new coach. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something right now. I saw this rookie y'all had play in preseason. I can't think of his name. He looked pretty good.
Stephen McGee.
Yeah. McGee, he looked mobile. He got a pretty strong arm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he scored a couple of touchdowns, which y'all are not able to do during preseason. So do you think it's time for a quarterback change in Dallas, or you think that's in the near future?
I think he's the future. I mean, I like the fact that they did draft a quarterback a couple years ago in the draft, although I think they still need to draft somebody else that could really be some competition for Romo because Kitna is not in the competition to Romo.
Right.
Romo
right.
needs a fire lit up under him. They need to have some kind of some guy that's waiting in the wings, some guy that the fans can get behind and say, hey, put this guy in. Because I think a quarterback should be able to play well under pressure. And I think there's no pressure in your position. It's hard for you to perform day in and day out. But that's not just – so I don't think they need to change right now. Stephen McGee needs to grow. He could be just like Tony Romo was and sit in the wings for 4 years and finally get a chance to have his start and show us something. Because if you remember, when Romo came in, Romo was a third string guy too.
Right.
We just saw him in preseason and figured, hey, if he can do it. If Bledsoe couldn't do it, we figured Romo could do it. And we didn't know until he got his chance and got in there. So I think he just needed to kind of stay in the wings, learn the offense more, and kind of watch some of the defense. And you never know, he might get his chance pretty quick. So we'll see what happens. But for right now, just get rid of the coach. That's all I want you to do, Jerry. Get rid of the coach and light a fire up on these guys so we can get some stuff going. But I really thought we were going to have a killer show today with that when that text came across.
But, you know, if you notice, there's a lot of these backup quarterbacks were starting quarterbacks on other teams. I think there's a lot of them this year, you know, that are playing the backup roles that they used to have. That, you know, they used to be the starting quarterback. So I don't know if that says there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there. These guys' times are up. It's time for a new generation. But I can remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, there were so many star quarterbacks in that day. You know, Steve Young, Staubach, you had Warren Moon, you had Kurt Warner, you know what I mean? You had the guy in Houston, what was his name? McNair. You know, you had a lot of quarterbacks. Had a lot of I see a few star quarterbacks, but even the Matt Ryans, and the guys in their sophomore year aren't winning like they did as freshman quarterbacks, you know. So it's a lot of pressure.
No Flacco,
you have a lot of, right. You have a lot of second-year sophomore quarterbacks now that are not having that success that they had as freshman quarterbacks.
Except for your guy, Mr. Sanchez, who you think last Tuesday became a man
last week.
If you think he became a man in that game. So, yeah, I definitely understand what you're saying. And don't forget, guys, you can reach us here. And the calling number, again, is 323-927-2906. This is the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. That's the co-host, Royce. And you can, of course, follow us on Twitter at RF Sports Radio or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. So we got a lot more stuff to cover, of course, as you know, Royce. Let's jump ships a little bit here and get a little bit of college football, because the season has been pretty good in the college football world. A lot of debate, and of course we'll get in more debate about that as the BCS comes to a head when we get the BCS championship and everything towards the end of the season, the bowl season. But we'll go through a couple of quick matchups real quick, and I think the headline game I know for me is going to be Saturday when the number one team in the nation, Alabama, goes head-to-head with Arkansas. And I really want to see this game because I honestly don't think Alabama is going to go through the season without a loss. It is too hard to play in the SEC and not have a loss on your schedule. I mean, they're going to play up against some good teams, and they're going to get everyone's best shot. Anytime you're number one, you get the best shot from the number 100 guy. Yeah, you're going to be
right.
A target. You're going to be a target. Ryan Mallett looks real good for Arkansas. I think they could really pull this game off. But we're going to see Mark Ingram is back. We talked about how well he did when he came back on Saturday. And they're actually, I think they're going to be kicking off. I know the game comes on CBS.
All right.
And I want to say they're going to be kicking off at 3:30 Eastern time. And they're actually at Arkansas. So this is a perfect opportunity for Arkansas to go ahead and give Alabama their first loss. The number two team, Ohio State, is going up against Eastern Michigan. That should be a cakewalk. You got the Austin Peay going up against number 11, Wisconsin. Wisconsin should win that game. Number 4, TCU, going up against SMU, which is a battle between Dallas and Fort Worth, if you really think about it. But I think I don't think I give SMU a chance. What about you, Royce?
Well, no, I don't. I think they get some kind of skillet award or some kind of war between the two teams.
Right.
I think SMU has won once out of 10 times, and that was so long ago, I don't even remember the year. But they had, you know, the program has always struggled, so it's going to, you know, I don't even see them close against TCU. I don't see it at all. But you know what, now I've gotten to the point where I look forward to Saturday college game than I do Sunday when an NFL game. There's a lot more excitement on Saturday than it is on Sunday.
Well, you know, it's a whole atmosphere. It's a whole knowing that they're playing the playoffs during the regular season because these teams,
right,
one loss
right.
Can knock them out of contention for the national championship.
Yes,
so
right.
That drama
game.
Really plays a huge factor on Saturday. And for those of you guys in the Dallas Fort Worth area that do listen to us, that game is actually tomorrow night in Dallas.
Right.
At SMU, so that's a good game to go to, definitely, especially after you go to high school football Friday. Maybe you want to check out some college football Friday night, so definitely check that out. I think their ticket's actually still available. You got number 19, Miami, playing Pittsburgh right now. And right now, Miami's walking all over Pittsburgh. It's 17-3, 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Miami's still looking really good. The young quarterback's looking good as well. You got number 18, Iowa, going against Ball State. They could go either way. It's got to be a sleeper team, not one of these ranked teams off. The number 21 team, Michigan, with Denard Robinson, and we talked about him since the start of the show. He's leading the league in rushing as a quarterback, and they're going up against Bowling Green. You got the number 25 team, Michigan State, facing Northern Colorado. We also have the number 17, Texas, playing UCLA, and UCLA is actually coming to Austin for that game. That should be a good game. That's going to be a good one. And number 16, Stanford at Notre Dame. This Notre Dame team has got to get a win somewhere. Although this Stanford quarterback, they're talking about him in the Heisman contention now. So we're going to see what happens. They've lost too many close games. They got to win at least one, and they get a ranked team on their home field. So this could be that game that they really break out. You got number 23, Penn State, taking on a Temple team. They're in Penn State. That should be a cakewalk for Penn State. Number 6, Nebraska, taking on South Dakota State. Number 9, Florida, is going up against Kentucky. Number 17, Auburn, against number 12, South Carolina. Now, this is a good SEC rivalry game. The kickoff schedule. Yeah, that's going to be a really good game there. And then, of course, Boise State, and we talked about this a little bit on Tuesday. The number 3 team, Boise State, going against number 24, Oregon State. And this is the last ranked team that they'll play on their schedule. And that's why everyone's putting up so much big debate, because if they win this game, they got a basic cakewalk for the rest of the season. It could land them in the championship game. And I think I told you on Tuesday that Oregon State actually painted their field blue for the players to practice on and get anticipation on campus for the game. Right. So that's going to be a good one. They won kicks off at 7 o'clock on ABC. So that'll be the premier game that night. You got number 13,
remember,
Utah.
Don't try to adjust your color, it's just the field, Ronnie.
It's just the field. Exactly. They got the
yeah, don't try to adjust your color on your TV. It's a blue field. So.
Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah.
Right. And then you got the number 15 LSU Tigers. They're at home against the number 22 West Virginia. That game is actually going to be on both ESPN 2 and ESPN 3. And if you guys haven't checked out ESPN3.com, it is great. I mean, you can watch all these games that you might not see on the regular TV, on the big game cast, and you can watch every college game, seems like, on ESPN3, and it's going to be a full packed house on Saturday. So we'll definitely have a review of some of those games come up Tuesday, so we definitely want to look out for that. Now, quickly, we're going to touch on a few other things. Number one, this baseball race is heating up. The Yankees have, I believe, a two-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. And the
Go Rangers.
The Rangers seem like to be the only team around here that's winning, so why wouldn't I talk about them? But the Rangers' magic number now is 4. They start a big, big, big series with the Oakland A's, the team in second place. They start that off tonight. It's going to kick off here in just a second. And now, Royce, let me ask you this. You've been a fan longer than me. You've been around. You've seen the Rangers, when they first started and when they were first getting off the ground. I'm kind of late coming to the party on the Rangers. Now, if they get swept by these Oakland A's, we could be talking about something totally different on Tuesday. And now, I know stranger things have happened. Do you think they can win at least 2 games against the A's, go ahead and clinch this thing, and we can get ready for playoff baseball?
I think they're going to flip. I think they're all going to win the division. It's been 11 long years, Rodney. And I think everybody in Dallas is not ready to jump the gun because we've been there before, or even, you know, the closest we've been. But I really do believe that they're going to win the division.
Yeah, I would hope so. I think it's inevitable. I just hope they at least win two games. But anything can happen. This team has been known to implode. I mean, it's just, and we at Dallas fans have come to expect it. We watch all our teams look good and just fizzle out at the end, from the Cowboys to the Mavericks to the Stars. So we're used to it in Dallas. That's for sure.
Well, you know, at least in the night, let's hope he make a statement and go and bring this thing on home. You know, I know he's not going to be here next year, but why not get a ring while you're here?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And for those of you who don't know, he made some questionable comments about him not wanting to be here. It's too hot here. And there's been speculation and talk and the joke around the media is that they've already got a jersey printed for this guy in New York to be a Yankee next year. And I think he wants to be a Yankee next year. But he is here. Why not win a ring while you're here? And, I mean, Texas deserves a ring. I mean, come on now. The Rangers deserve a ring.
Oh, yeah.
I think they deserve a ring.
We don't even have a World Series anything, you know, in Texas. So that would really change the dynamic in Dallas, you know, because, like I say, you do have a loyal Ranger fan that go win or lose, you know, every year. And we do fight this Texas heat, which is probably the worst in Major League Baseball. But, I tell you what, they will be the Cinderellas of the city with the Cowboys going down, the Mavericks not making any changes, and mediocre. But Dallas, it really would change the dynamic of the city to have a champion back again. We got so spoiled with the Cowboys, you know, winning Super Bowls and having titles. Mm-hmm. But it's time for the Mavericks and the Rangers to step it up too, you know.
Right. I'm ready for that. And speaking of the Rangers, I don't know if you guys caught this, but there was an interesting piece on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, and he talked a lot about Josh Hamilton. As we know, Josh is coming back, just had fractured ribs, so it wasn't broken like they really thought. So he will be able to come back and help this team out now and in the playoffs. And for those of you guys that don't know the Josh Hamilton story, of course, we know it here in town. But he's come a long, long, long way. He started back in 2006 after being off 4 years from Major League Baseball, and he violated substance abuse policy. He's had countless run-ins with battling the drug addiction, and he's got to turn his life around. And I remember he set the world on fire in 2008 by breaking the record in the home run derby, getting big votes for the MVP. And really made a name for himself. And back in 2009, in the summer of 2009, before the season, we had pictures that actually surfaced of him drinking at the bar with his shirt off, with a bunch of people at the bar. So, you know, and this guy's been battling with this every day. And the reason we're bringing it up because he's actually looking for an extension now. And I was looking at some of the numbers. And I didn't realize this, but this guy only plays 116 games, roughly, a season. He wants big money. I mean, you got guys like Pujols, Miguel Cabrera. They're doing over 150 games a year. And due to the fact that he's hurt so much, he doesn't play a full schedule a lot of the time. And what I thought was kind of shocking was Evan Grant wrote a piece in the Dallas Morning News that even said that some of his drug abuse over the years has contributed to him being so prone to injury. And I thought that was fascinating. Right. Not only does Josh think about that, but even the coaching staff and the trainers on the Rangers, they know the same thing. So I thought that was really shocking for me. And Royce, you may not even notice, but this guy does not even keep cash on him. He doesn't keep credit cards on him. And his wife has to follow him from home to the ballpark every day.
You know, Rodney, if that's what it takes to keep him sober, well, let her keep doing what she's doing. But you know one thing about Josh Hamilton, he is a fan favorite. he's one of the top fan favorites. So I think the fans would be upset. You know what I mean? He's a likable person. He has contributed to that success, you know. So in a sense, he had kind of earned his contract, but he's got to get this drug addiction under control, you know. So, kudos to his wife, because he can very easily make one turn, and that'll change his life forever. You know, one wrong turn or stop at the wrong place. Or,
right.
Even having money in his pocket is a trigger, you know. So anything keep him, you know, from clicking those triggers, you know, I think that's a good idea. So, but he is one of the fans.
And I agree with you. I agree with you 100% right there. I like Josh. I think everyone deserves a chance of redemption. I agree with you 100%, and whatever works, works. And I'm glad that he has someone in his corner that's going to be there to be supportive of him and even go through the process of working with him and keeping him on track. But can we commit big A-Rod, Albert Pujols-type dollars to a guy that is living so day-to-day like this? I mean, do you think that's and we know how the Rangers do. Rangers will break the bank on whoever they want to keep here,
right.
i.e. Alex Rodriguez, i.e. Chan Ho Park. So do you think it's really worth to break the bank on a guy like Josh Hamilton when he's really on the edge and walking that fine line day to day?
Well, I think at the end of the season, make it a condition that he goes to drug rehab. And also, if your coach, which was also scoffing cocaine, using cocaine, if he could turn his life around, I think Josh could turn his life around too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And right. He even said in the Real Sports story that whole mix-up at the bar in 2009, he actually got away from his, he always used praying and reading his Bible to keep his mind off of drugs. Right. He started believing into the baseball hype from 2008 and got away from it. And ended up in a bar. He said when he got to the bar, there was no one there but him. And next thing you know, the bartender makes a phone call, and two girls and two guys show up and start buying him drinks. They were the only people there. And so he actually felt like he was set up by the bartender, which I thought was kind of
the wagon
too. Yeah, just fell out the wagon. He said he doesn't even remember taking the pictures at all. This guy's pretty hardcore. I mean, and he's battling an addiction. And I wish him all the best of luck. I like Josh Hamilton. I like the Rangers. I just really wish he got a better handle on this. And I don't know how you can commit this kind of money to this guy. Now, he does have another year left on his contract. He wants an extension. And I think we should keep him here. I just think that we should put some kind of conditions in his contract.
Oh, yeah.
Condition
that he's
going to help him.
That he goes into treatment in the offseason. That would be the condition of the new contract.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought that was really interesting story.
You know, baseball has been given a bad label, you know, because of the drug use anyway. So, I like to see it resolved. You know what I mean? It's a sticky situation. I like to see it them clean themselves up. You know what I mean? Monitor itself a little bit better. And I think they could eventually, you know, just like NFL, random drug testing and the works, you know. Like the NFL is doing a better job than the Major League Baseball, you know,
yeah.
As far as cracking down on drug use. So
yeah.
Maybe they need to adopt that program. You know what I mean? You won't see a lot of this in baseball.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you guys definitely get a chance to check out that Real Sports piece. It's really, really intriguing. Or go on DallasNews.com. And read Evan Grant's article about it as well. But it's really, really a good read and a good story, a good redemption story for Josh, and something that, you know, I applaud him 100%, you know, for the turnaround and the changes he's done, because now he's got an opportunity to really do a lot more for those that are struggling that may not have the money or the support there to really help him. So I hope he realizes that. And we keep him around as a Ranger. Especially a Ranger with a World Series ring, that'd be the best thing ever. So we'll definitely see what happens on that end. We got a lot more.
And I know we got some Ranger fans out there.
We got some Ranger
fans out there want to get in on that.
We do. And you guys can give us a call. Again, the call-in number, 323-927-2906. You can reach us at Twitter, RF Sports Radio, or email us at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We still got a lot of stuff coming up on the schedule from the NFL. You guys can call in and weigh in on that. We do got a special guest coming on here in about 10 minutes or less that's going to be going through some of the NFL picks and stuff with us. Another Cowboy fan, so I don't know how you're going to feel about that, Roy, so we'll see how that goes. But we got a lot of stuff planned on the show. Just a touch, and we're going to get into some fantasy talk, too, because I'm going to let the listeners kind of help me put my fantasy team together because I need some help. I got beat by 40 points last Sunday, and I still scored 115 points. So I need to do something. I'm going against a guy that hadn't lost yet, so we need to figure something out in this fantasy team. A couple of other late-breaking notes in the world of sports. And we didn't talk about this on Tuesday, but we didn't get a chance to get to it. Tuesday was such a packed show. But for those of you who don't know, Reggie Bush is going to be out 6 weeks with a broken fibula. And I don't know what that's going to do to that Saints offense, although they got so many weapons. But what do you think about that? You think the Saints are going to be able to keep rolling after that close 49ers?
I think Sean Payton's going to come up with a scheme. Like I said, they do have a lot more weapons. Reggie Bush is part of their weapons crew. Somebody's going to step up. I think they'll be all right. I really do. They're going to miss the running game, you know, and him coming out of the backfield. But I think Payton's going to come up with a good scheme for to kind of that. So we will see. We'll see. And you do have Drew Brees back there. So as long as you have Drew Brees, you got a chance.
Real quick, just to touch on a couple of other things that are going on. We talked about the Michael Vick thing, him starting for the Eagles this week. And actually, we talked about how Monday, Kevin Cobb was a starter, and come Tuesday when we went live on the air, Mike Vick was a starter. And since then, just in the last day, they've actually been getting offers from other teams to get Kevin Cobb on a trade or however. I mean, I don't know. And Andy Reid was actually quoted saying earlier today that he feels like he has two quarterbacks on his team that could take the Eagles to the Super Bowl. But that's coach talk. I mean, what else is a coach supposed to say after you tell the starter that, hey, you're not starting no more? We're putting in Michael Vick. I mean, what do you think about this whole situation? You think they're doing the right thing, or should they put Cobb back in there?
Well, they'd probably be better off keeping Cobb, because if Vick goes down, then what do you do? Who's buying Cobb? I mean, who's the third-string quarterback? So you never know, you know, but you got to make a decision. It's back and forth, you know. Yeah, it doesn't work for the team chemistry. It doesn't work for the quarterback, you know, controversy. So you got to make a choice. And sometimes, you know, Cobb had his shot, you know. And I know he waited behind McNabb all these years to get his shot. But that's football, you know. That's the way it works. That's football life, you know.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
There's always somebody waiting in the wing to take your spot, younger and older. So that's
and
football.
Royce, I didn't know if you knew this, but you bring up an interesting point by keeping Cobb on the staff, because Vic could easily get hurt now. I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but since 2005, Vic is actually number two quarterback with the most sacks after David Carr.
Right.
This guy gets sacked a lot. He got sacked 6 times against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. So he takes a lot more sacks than people actually think about. But that's because when he hits that 3 seconds on his clock, he's not throwing the ball away. He's trying to figure out what side of the field I need to get to. I'm not really thinking about throwing the ball right now. Get out of that pass rush. Exactly, they got to keep Cobb on there and ready to go. A couple of other quick sports stories, and we'll get into a little NBA talk once our special guest does join us here in a second. But Don Nelson is out of a job. He's no longer the coach of the Warriors. So we're going to see what happened on the Warriors front. And as you know, I don't really like Don Nelson. I don't like what he did to this team, and I don't like what his son is doing to the Mavericks right now. So, so I don't know what Don Nelson is going to end up. He probably going to end up with a check from somebody else here pretty soon. And the Phoenix Suns have extended Alvin Gentry's contract through the 2012 and 13 season, too.
Well, you know, Don Nelson's a dinosaur.
He should have been out a long time ago. His, you know, he did his thing with the Mavericks, and he did his thing with Golden State. You know, he kind of turned it around, but his style of basketball, I didn't like his style when he was in Dallas. And he got lucky. He inherited a good team when he went to Golden State. But it's time for him to go. He needs to take his son with him. That's why I feel about it. But it's time for him to go. He has a good record. You know, he has nothing to be ashamed of. But, you know, I think his time is up. You know, even Phil Jackson's contemplating retirement. So, you know, it's his time to go. You know, that's why I feel about it. And by them extending Aaron Gentry's contract, I think that's the best thing for the Suns. His second year, he really turned that team around. They were contenders. And he lost a lot of players, but he made do. You know, Stoudemire's gone. So we'll see how he do this year. It'll be a good test for him. But I think he's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I like Aaron Gentry. I like his style. He seems like really like a player's coach too.
Right.
So, you know, I think players can always identify a player's coach, especially in the NBA with so many prima donnas in the NBA. Everybody think they run in some of the NBA. I mean, you got these guys on the bench with guaranteed contracts. So, so you know how that goes. But, again, we want to welcome everyone listening to the show, whether you listen on the website or listening at Blog Talk Radio. Again, our call-in number is 323-927-2906, 323-927-2906. And you can reach us at Twitter, RF Sports Radio, or you can definitely reach us on email at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and bring on our real special guest real quick and get into some more topics on the NFL. We also want to get into some picks for Week 3. So you guys definitely get a chance to get your pen and paper ready because you're going to want to hear my picks. I did go 10-6 last week, Royce. I mean, that's a winner, am I right?
Yeah, but you could have had a better record if you quit picking the Cowboys.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. We're going to get to the Cowboys and stuff, too. So let's bring on our guest real quick. And this is a good friend of the show. Rick, are you live on the RF Sports Radio show? You there?
Come on, man. How's it going, y'all?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Royce, how you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine, man.
Now, Rick, let's get into a little NFL. And a lot of these 0-2 teams are trying to get their first win, mainly the Minnesota Vikings, mainly the Dallas Cowboys. So I want to definitely spend a little time talking with them. Because I know you watch the game with much intensity as I do when it comes to the
right
Cowboys.
Right on.
So let's break down this Cowboys and Texans game real quick. So I want to do something a little bit different this time. And I want to just go with just position by position and see if we can even come up with a winner based on the positions and how these guys have been playing this season. So let's start with the most important position of all. Let's go with the quarterback play. So for what you've seen, Royce, Rick, from Romo and from Matt Schaub, who gets the check mark for the Texans and the Cowboys on the quarterback? And Royce, you go first.
Riley, of course, Matt. Over Tony any day. His numbers, his touchdowns, his demeanor. And after we get through this, I want to make a statement about this. Player by player, which is a better team? Who's playing better football right now?
Well, I mean, actually, we're going to have to say the Texans are playing better football. That they're 2-0. I mean, I understand that. I understand that 2-0. But I'm really trying to give all of the fans of Dallas, including myself, some kind of sense of hope that we're going to win this game and win this game handily. That's what I'm trying to do. So it's not just convincing me. It's convincing all these everyone else is around here panicking because we can't go 0-3. So
we can't go 0-3.
So with your point taken, I already know what you're going to say. I already know what you're going to say, Royce. You're going to always get the check mark to the check. Anyway, so Rick, you tell me, what do you think? From what you've seen in the two games, who are you going to get the check mark to in the quarterback?
I like Romo in this one. Matt Schaub had the better weapon without question on the receiving end. You know, but I think Houston's secondary is a little bit shaky. I think it's more suspect than ours. I mean, we kind of suspect at the safety spot, but I think Tony Romo is going to go out there and have a good day.
And Royce, you may not know this, but actually the Texans rank last, dead last in the league against opponents' passing yards. They've let everybody throw. They've averaged everybody throwing 411 yards on them. If y'all remember how Peyton lit them up in week one, McNabb lit them up in week two. So you still going to give the check mark to the quarterback play when you know they're dead last in defending the
pass? Well, Rodney, y'all offense ranked in the bottom two. If you look at that, your drop passes. Incomplete pass.
I mean, we rank in the bottom two if you look at scoring, you know, but they'll sit there and tell you they top four in offense right now. They moving the ball. They just can't get into the end zone. That's their problem. The most important thing out there. That's what irritates me.
Right, touchdowns, y'all, not leading the league in touchdowns.
Yeah,
and you are absolutely right about that.
The offense actually rank number two in the NFL. In passing yards and 28 in rushing yards. We'll get into the rushing yards actually now. So with that said, I mean, I give the check mark to Romo, and that's two against one, Royce. So I'm sorry, we're gonna go with Romo on this one, especially against a defense that can't do nothing against the pass, dead last against the pass. Let's go to the running game real quick. Now we know Dallas has three running backs. We got Barber, we got Jones, we got Choice. Okay, now they do have this guy Arian Foster, who had a huge game in week one, didn't really do nothing in week two. So, Royce, can you honestly give the check mark to the Texans on the running back position?
As far as what I've seen, y'all don't have a running game.
Well,
even with three backs.
It's slow to start. We rank
28
in the league. We rank 28th in the
rest of
the yards. I understand that with
three backs. So, Foster can run circles around all three of your backs.
No,
in my opinion.
Well, you got to think about it, though. But think about this, though, okay? We still rank pretty high on the rushing, defending the rush. We still rank pretty top.
Now, we're talking about running the ball, Rodney. We're not talking about rush defense. We're talking about running the ball.
I understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and based upon that, running the ball, I mean, I would have to give it to that boy Foster. Now, that's not to say that he's going to go out there and just run all over Dallas because, I mean, my opinion, I think Dallas is really pretty steady against the run. I don't think he's going to go out there and just damage it. But the Cowboys haven't really shown anything in the run game. You know, now it is time for the Cowboys to go out there and have a breakout running game. But being realistic about it, that other kid has shown something and Dallas hasn't. That's my opinion on the thing.
Rodney?
Well, I understand it. I know right now Arian Foster is one of the top running backs in the league right now. So I understand that they do feed him the ball. He might just have one of those magical breakout seasons, but I'm going to have to go with potential on this one. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to say that I think that it's time for our running game to break out, and I think they're going to make a conscious effort this game to actually feed the ball to the running backs. So I think that's why we're going to see a huge, huge difference in the running game. So I'm going to get a check mark to the Cowboys. I'm sorry. I'm just biased.
You said that.
I'm not mad at you. You don't have to apologize at all. I'm not mad at you for that. I hope the Cowboys go out there and do exactly that. I hope they do that. You know, but like I said, that other kid has shown something, you know, but even though he really didn't do much in that second game, but he did the thing in that first game. He did that.
Rodney, you said that last week. Your running game is going to be back.
I did say that last week. And really, though, this is going to be a test for the Cowboys, too, because the Texans defense is number two defending the rush right now. They're only leading opponents averaging 31 yards rushing in the game, which is pretty stout. And they're first in the league in rushing. So we're going to see what this Cowboys defense is all about. Speaking of defense, now let's don't take position by position. Let's look at the defense as a whole. I mean, who do you get the check mark to on the defense side of the ball, Rick?
Oh, I'm going with the Cowboys all day. I mean, I believe in our defense. You know, our defense was a little shaky against Chicago, but, you know, looking at the game, watching the game, I don't necessarily just blame that on the defense. Our offense has got to be able to sustain drives, go out there, get a defense to rest a little bit, put some points on the board, you know, give our defense something else to shoot for other than we just always got to shut somebody down. Give our defense a chance to say, oh, okay, you know, we put up two or three touchdowns. All we got to do is hold them to 13 points. All we got to do is hold them to 14 points or something like that. I really do believe in our defense. Now, that's not to say that the Texans doesn't have a good defense, because I think the Texans are okay, you know, but I have a lot of confidence in our defense.
The Texans' weakness on defensive ball is the secondary, as you pointed out earlier. Being dead last against the pass, I mean, that's going to be the opportunity for the Cowboys right there. I mean, they do defend the rush really well. They got some real good players on that front four with Mario Williams and the young guy, Okoye. So they got some players on that front four that can really stop the run. But I think just with their secondary hurting them so bad, it's hard to get them the check mark on the defensive side of the ball. Now, Royce, I know what you're going to say, so why don't you go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Well, right now I got a surprise for y'all gave over 20 points to Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears, which we all know is a mediocre offense. So against a high-powered offense like Houston, Mike Jenkins is hurt. Do you actually think they're not going to score points against your big team? Y'all gave up over 20 points to Jay Cutler. Mr. Interception. Y'all gave up over 20 points to Jay Cutler and a mediocre Chicago team.
Right, but two of those touchdowns was already on our side of the field. He didn't have to do nothing but make two passes. I mean, our offense has got to do better than that. And that other one, Wade Phillips or Cornelius or whoever it was that made the call to kick that short ball, they shouldn't have done that. They didn't do nothing but give them the opportunity to get in there real quick.
Yeah,
well, you know what, Rick? You're absolutely right, but that's how the game went. And I saw Jay Cutler light y'all up with no interceptions. How many interceptions does y'all defense have?
Oh, our defense doesn't have any right now. We don't have any turnovers right now. Our defense needs to do better on that. Our defense needs to do better that way. We need to get better. We need to go out there and get some turnovers. But everybody know how the Cowboys are. I mean, it's a bend but don't break type of defense. People do get to move the ball up and down a little bit sometimes, you know, if they catch us in the passing, because our run is pretty stout. But they usually get down there and end up with a field goal or something like that. You know, I blame the offense a whole lot more than I blame the defense on that.
My nod is to Houston.
Okay, well,
without question, we already know you're going to say that.
On that one. Okay, let's move a little bit to on the field, but not in the field of play. Let's look at the coaches. I mean, you got Wade Phillips, this guy's been had a dad that was a coach, grew up, and we know what kind of calls he's been making this season. And you look at a guy being the Texans coach, Kubiak, and what he's been able to do to turn them around. And it's going to be – I know my followers and my fans out there ain't going to like this, but I got to give the check mark to the Texans on this one, because I have not been pleased with what Wade Phillips has been doing. He hasn't motivated this team to get a win yet. And this other guy's actually got the Texans beating a team that they haven't beaten, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. They come from behind from 17 down to beat the Redskins in a tight game in overtime. He makes an excellent decision to call for the timeout to ice the kick after the kicker made the field goal. On that timeout and missed it after that, I've got to give the check mark to the Texans as far as the coaching goes.
Ronnie, you also forgetting the fact that they do have Andre Johnson, and their receiving core is outstanding. Even the coach couldn't shut him down. So they came back from a 17-point deficit last week. I still going to have to give a nod to Houston. That's something to consider when you talk about your defense. They hadn't came up against any receivers like this so far.
Now, what do you think about that, Rick? You think I'm justified in giving the check mark to the Texans on the coaching?
No. I can't disagree with you. I'm sorry. I can't disagree with you at all. I would give it to Kubiak as well. I mean, now I do like Wade Phillips as a coach, you know, and I'm upset with some stuff that they've been doing out there, no matter who it was that's been making the call. I don't like it. Coach Phillips is responsible for it. But Kubiak has been out there doing his thing. He's got the Texans looking real good right now.
Yeah. And some of the calls your coaches have made in the last two games are questionable. So I can't
questionable. They are incredibly suspect. They are terrible. There's no way they should make those calls, man. I'm real mad about that, man.
I agree with you on that. And then we can move to special teams. And even on special teams, I gotta give the nod to the Texans on special teams. Here it is. It's Thursday. We got a game on Sunday. And we still haven't picked up a kicker. We still haven't brought a kicker in the camp. And so I have to get a nod to the Texans on this one because I don't know what Bill is going to hit. I don't know if he's going to hit a 44-yarder or a 60-yarder. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do out there. So I've got to get the nod to the Texans when it comes to special teams.
The guy has kicked a 56-yard field goal. So 50 yards is his range. I don't think y'all can compete with that.
The kicker, I'm not pleased with that at all. Please go out there and get you a kicker. But contrary to what you might believe, I'm going with the Cowboys on that. Because when we talk about special teams, I want to see somebody put that ball to Dez Bryant again, and I want Dez Bryant to take that thing back 65 yards and get up in the end zone and start putting the X up in the air. That's what I'm talking about, special teams. It's not just that kicking. I'm not really mad about that, the whole special teams unit. I'm mad about that kicking situation, though.
And I don't know how you guys take – I don't know, guys, how you're going to take this, but Romo comes out today and makes a big deal about how the Cowboys need to run the ball to get the offense back on track. I think they sell us some wolf tickets to me because if the defense is last in defending the pass, then of course I'm going to tell everybody I'm going to run the ball so I can line them up with Miles Austin, the only player that's really been playing the offense to me. So I think they're just selling some wolf tickets along that. But overall, I mean, we look at it, we got split decisions on the special teams, split decisions really all the way across the board. Now, Rick, you're a homer just like me. Convince not just me, but convince the masses, the panic, Dallas Fort Worth, Metroplex that are listening, convince us on why these Cowboys are not going to be 0-3 going into the bye week.
It's simple because they're the Dallas Cowboys. It's simple to me. There's no way they need to go out there and do that. They can't do that. I'm sure they got a whole lot more pride within themselves. Not to mention, I still don't think that the Cowboys is a bad team. It's just something they got to put together and get out there and do it. I can guarantee you every team that's playing against the Cowboys are wondering, same thing we was talking about the other day, which team is going to show up? Which team is going to show up today? They fear the Cowboys. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. They're not taking the Cowboys lightly, man. The Cowboys are still a good team. They're going to go out there and get them some.
Now, Roy, you know what? I like your counter-argument on that one.
Well, you know, unless Jason Garrett went out about a chemistry set, I don't see any on the Cowboys team. I just don't see the chemistry in the team. Anytime you have to call a player's only meeting the second week, which half of them didn't want, half of them wanted, and you know sometime in a meeting they pointed fingers. You know what I mean, boy? If you hadn't done this, we'd have lost the game. I don't see the team chemistry. You all are going to win some games. That's a gimme. But as far as going to championship caliber team, it is something seriously wrong with this Dallas Cowboy team with all the talent that they have. I can't put my finger on it. If it's the players, if it's the chemistry, if it's the coach. But there's something definitely wrong with the Dallas Cowboys.
And I agree with you. It is something wrong with the Cowboys. The Cowboys, there's something they need to put together out there. But I believe in that team. I think that's a good team out there. Now, that's my personal opinion, and I'm sure a lot of Cowboy fans that's out there listening right now agree with that. They are a good team. They got good players across the board. Across the board. Now, I'm not saying every player, but at every position, there's somebody that's decent, at least. And they got superstars.
But who stepped up other than Miles Austin? I mean, you got all these stars, but I hadn't seen not one of them just take over a game.
It's something that they have to put together out there. I agree with you there. I agree with you. And once it clicks, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary.
I would hope so too. Now my opinion is I think we win this game. I said it last Tuesday. I told y'all to take it to the bank. We win this game because we're not gonna go 0-3. If y'all remember last season, we were winning games and that was a big difference, but the offense was struggling, couldn't get back on track, and then we all of a sudden we learned who Miles Austin really was. He was a spark plug on the team in the Kansas City game and turn the whole offense around. And I think we saw that spark plug last Sunday in Dez Bryant, okay? I think this guy could have the impact that Miles Austin had for the team last season, getting out on the special teams going, but get the offense back on track, being an electric player out there. And all they got to do is do what they know how to do and just play football. That's it. To me, they have a better team, period, because they have better players. They have a good scheme as put in place. They got the right players that pull off the right kind of plays. They just need to play. They're putting too much pressure on themselves. They need to just calm down and get out there like they're on Pop One on a Saturday and get out there and play some football and do what they know how to do. And I think this Cowboys team can still turn everything around. They can still make it to the Super Bowl and be one of the first team to ever play a home Super Bowl game. And I think this is not over. I think they're going to show everybody in week three who they really are, and they're going to spend the whole bye week preparing themselves for what they need to do for the rest of the season. That's my opinion. I think that's what's really going to happen come Sunday.
And I don't disagree.
Yeah, let me tell you my opinion on that. I think you said that for the last 2 weeks. It's been like the same old song. Same old song. You said the team wouldn't go 0-2, but they are. So what makes you think they can't go 0-3, which they very well might be?
Because I think they win this game. I think this is their statement game. I think this is their statement game, period. And I think they would have won that game on Saturday if it wasn't a few mistakes here and there, a few bad stuff going their way. But I think they're going to pull it together. This offensive line has had a chance to play together in jail. They're going to be better. I think they're going to try to force the ball and get some running game going. And I think against a team like the Texans, being the last in passing, let me just remind you that Romo's numbers are good. If you look at his numbers are very, very good. The offense is very, very good. They just haven't had a chance to put everything together. It's always somebody getting ripped. Is somebody not catching the pass? Is somebody letting the ball bounce off them for the interception? Bad field position.
But make no mistake about it. Romo did not have a good game last game. He did put up some numbers, but he didn't have a good game. I mean, he was off. He was off out there. Romo could have played a whole lot better, but we've seen Romo play better. And this secondary we're getting ready to go against is suspect. Romo's going to go out there and have a good game. He gonna have a good game.
I think so too. So Russ, I want to be sitting next to you when this game come on. That's all I want to do. Sit next to you when this game come on.
I wouldn't miss. I hope me and you and Rick can watch the game together because I would love to say I told you so, and then just like you all have said, and week after week, what Cowboy team gonna show up? And y'all hadn't played a good team yet. You played Washington. You played Chicago. What's going to happen when you come up against a good team?
Well, we're going to find out on Sunday. Then that game, That's an early game. That game kicks off at 12 o'clock on Fox. It's an early game. It's in Houston. It should be a really, really loud crowd. The Cowboys on the road, but I think they're going to really show and prove and do what they got to do this Sunday. So we're going to look forward to that. And I hope Tuesday is going to be our victory show, and we're going to be 1-3 or 1-2 and go and get ready to get into this playoff mode, into the bye week. Minnesota's got a bye week next week too, and we'll go through a couple of games in the NFL. Rick, if you got some time, I want to get your opinion on some of the NFL games, because I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but I did go 10-6 last week. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah, I heard you.
Okay,
I don't even remember
the winning record.
Well, mark mine down too. I don't have a pencil with me right now.
I think I went 13-3. I'm gonna mark yours down too, Roy, so we can compare everything right next week. And again, you guys can chime in. You can put in your feedback in, whether it's Cowboys, Rangers, whatever story that's on your mind, especially going into the weekend coming up. And the calling number again is 323-927-2906. You can reach us at Twitter at RS Sports Radio or by email at rsportsradio@gmail.com. So let's pull up a schedule real quick, and we'll go starting with some of the early games, moving to the late games. We got Tennessee going to New York to face the Giants. Giants are coming off a loss in the Manning Bowl. Didn't look real good. You got players like Brandon Jacobs throwing a helmet into the crowd. But Tennessee's coming off a loss, too, where they didn't even score a touchdown. They benched Vince Young in the game to bring in Kerry Collins. They got beat by defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So who bounces back in this game out of Tennessee and New York? Who do you think, Roy, is going to bounce back in this game?
Well, you know, Jeff Fisher is a fighter, but Tom Coughlin has, in the last couple of years, has been a motivator. I'm going to get a nod to the New York Giants. Eli had a bad week against his brother, but they still a pretty good explosive team. They put up over 30 points. I'm about to go with Giants.
You're going with the Giants. I'm going to write you down for the Giants. And, Rick, who you like in this game, Tennessee or New York?
Put me down for the Giants, too. I mean, I think the Giants will win that game, but it's pretty much because of the fact that they're playing at home. I don't think the Giants are just a real good team, but Tennessee is just not looking real good right now. Vince Young's got to do better. Vince Young's got to do better out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna take the other way on this. I'm gonna go with the Titans. I know Vince Young is gonna start this game. I think that the Titans have a good team. I think the Giants are going to lose again because it's a really help the Cowboys if they do lose. So I'm going to have to go with the Giants. And I think that the Giants are a decent team. I think they got lots to work on and some time in jail. But I think Tennessee bounces back and takes this game at the Meadowlands, so the new Meadowlands Stadium. Other than that, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 2-0, mind you, without Roethlisberger. And now they're going to have to start the game without Dennis Dixon, putting in Charlie Batch, but Charlie Batch has done this before, against another 2-0 team, a surprise 2-0 team, which I told you, Roy, to look out for, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay. So tell me, Rick, who you got in Pittsburgh 2-0 against Tampa Bay 2-0?
Oh, I mean, I would actually have to go with the Steelers on that game. I don't really believe in what Tampa Bay is doing right now. And, you know, the Steelers are a real suspect at quarterback. But Charlie Batch, he's a veteran. He's done it before. You know, not saying that he's just won a whole lot of games, but he's had his share. You know, I think the Steelers will be a more steady team. I think they'll pull it out.
Okay. And, Royce, who you like in this game?
Well, I'm about to go with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh don't need a quarterback to win. They got a defense.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to go ahead and go with Pittsburgh, too. I like Tampa Bay. I like what they're doing. But I Pittsburgh is my defense on my fantasy team. So they've been lovely for me in the last 2 weeks. So I don't see no reason not to go with them now. So I'm going with Pittsburgh on this one, too. So I think we all in agreement on that one. Now, we do have a 1-2 team, Cincinnati, going up against Carolina. This game is in Carolina at Bank of America Stadium. the Cincinnati go ahead and get the ball rolling, get two victories in a row. I'm going with Cincinnati. What do you guys think?
I think T.O. and Ocho is going to have a breakout game Sunday. I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going with Cincinnati, too. I think Cincinnati is just a better team. Plus, I think this is the game Clawson is getting his first start, isn't it?
Yeah, he's getting his first start this game.
And you know how that goes for a rookie out there, you know, starting in the NFL. You know, not saying that it's never been done, but, you know, what's the chances?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And then we got a game I think is going to be easy for all of us to pick, and that's going to be Cleveland at Baltimore. That game's at Reliance Stadium M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. I think it's no-brainer here. I can see if anybody can give me a reason for Cleveland to win the game, you're more than welcome to call in right now. Believe me, you're more than welcome to call in right now if you can tell me why Cleveland is going to win this game. I mean, you guys are going with Baltimore, I know. Rick, I know you're going with Baltimore.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Baltimore is just simply the better team. There's not really a whole lot to say about that one.
And, Royce, you going to fight me on this one, too, or you going with Baltimore?
Yeah, Ryan, I'm feeling a little frisky tonight. That's going to be my upset game of the week. Cleveland's going to win this game.
Whoa.
Upset pick of the week.
You're telling me Cleveland's going to go in there and beat the Ravens in Baltimore?
This is going to be my upset game of the week.
Wow. We're going to have a real good show on Tuesday.
Wow. Russ, wow. You still taking people to dinner, man?
This is my upset pick of the week.
This is going to be an upset, that's for sure.
Y'all didn't see that coming, did you?
Y'all heard that. You got us on that one. Another game we're going to pick is going to be it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers coming off a really, really good game, a close loss in overtime on Monday night. They got a short week. They're playing this Sunday against Kansas City, a team that I really can't really figure out right now. I did pick San Kansas City the last 2 weeks to win. How do you see this game going, Royce? You like the 49ers? You like the Chiefs at home?
I'm going to go with the 49ers because I think if they don't win, Mike Singletary is going to knock somebody out. That's my
thing. Hey, Rick, who you like in this game here?
As much as I hate to say it, the San Francisco 49ers. We talked about it before. I thought Kansas City, you know, that was a lucky game against San Diego. I just don't believe in what Kansas City is doing right now. That's just my personal opinion of it. You know, I think the 49ers, and that's not to say that the 49ers is just this real good team, but I think they have better players than what Kansas City does.
Like, and keep in mind, guys, Kansas City is 2-0. They are playing at home against a 49ers team that really had a breakout game. I'm going to go ahead and go out there and say 49ers. I was going to make this my upset pick, but after seeing the way they played on Monday night, it's kind of hard to pick against these guys. These guys deserve a win after the way they played on Monday night. Another game, and it's another 0-2 team trying to get that situation back on track before the bye weekend. And it's the Detroit Lions are going to be going up against the Minnesota Vikings in the battle of the 0-2 teams. I guess someone's got to win this game and get a win. Who are you giving the win to in this game, Royce?
I'm going to let Rick go first on this one.
I'm going with the Vikings. Easy. I'm going with the Vikings. The Vikings is going to win that game, period.
And the game is in Minnesota. It's at the Metrodome. It's on the fast track. Now, Royce, you must be setting us up for something here.
I just wanted to make you think that. Just surprise you on the last pick. I can see Minnesota win 3 in a row. I'm going to reluctantly take Minnesota because
losing 3 in a row.
Brett Favre is not himself right now. I don't know what's going on. And that team is kind of like the Cowboys to me. They're not gelling. Whatever's something missing. And if Brett Favre goes out the game, the possibility could be upset.
And let's keep in mind, this is a divisional game for Minnesota and Detroit. And Detroit's playing again without Matt Stafford, who's not going to play this game either. So I think I got to give the win to the Vikings to get that shit back sailing again. So we'll definitely be looking at that one. That one comes on at noon on Fox as well. And then also you have the Buffalo Bills, the lowly Buffalo Bills, 0-2 going against the New England Patriots. Is anybody giving the Bills a chance? Or can we move on?
Wow. New England Patriots.
No chance for Bills. No chance for Bills.
I got as much as it hates me to go Pats, I'm going with the Pats. And then you have the Atlanta Falcons, and this is going to be a really, really good game. The Falcons in New Orleans are going against the Saints. Now, think about this before you pick this, because this could really make a breaking record right here, because I think this game can really go either way. I'm going with the Falcons in this game. And I don't know if that's a shocker to some people or if it's an upset, but I like what Atlanta's doing. They put up a bunch of points last week. New Orleans kind of got exposed a little bit with the 49ers. They played them real tough with that 49er defense. And I'm going with the Falcons to roll and beat the Saints to get the Saints their first loss of the season. Rick, how you see this game going?
This is my upset pick of the week. It would be an upset to me. The Saints are really out there doing their thing. I mean, you know, it's no faking it. Nobody can front on what the Saints are doing right now. The Saints are out there looking real good. But I think it's going to be the Reggie Bush factor. Reggie Bush does way too many things for the New Orleans Saints to help open up their offense. Drew Brees is an outstanding quarterback and probably, you know, easily top three, top two in the league without question. Drew Brees is real nice. But I think Reggie Bush being gone is going to hurt them, and I think the Falcons is going to take advantage of that situation. I'm going with the Falcons.
Yeah, well, you sound like a man of reason right there. Royce, who you going with in the Falcons against the Saints?
This is going to be my second upset pick of the week. I'm about to go with the Falcons.
Oh, you're picking against the Saints?
Yes,
wow.
I am.
Now, following the Saints, story, I know this is the first time he's picked against these Saints.
Well, I think this will be that first loss. No team is going to go undefeated, and I think this is the week that they lose. But I do look for them to bounce back. I'm about to go with Atlanta. Atlanta's playing pretty good.
Now, keep in mind, this is going to tie them in the division. If they lose this game, they'll be tied with Atlanta in their division. Although it's still early. It is still early. So we'll see what happens on that. Then you got the Washington Redskins. This starts the late afternoon games. The Redskins are going to St. Louis to play the Rams. That game is, again, going to be in St. Louis at Edward Jones Dome, which is right there in the heart of the city of St. Louis. Now I'm going to let you guys pick this game first. Go ahead. Now, Royce, who you like in the Rams and the Redskins?
I'm about to go with the Redskins. The way Donovan McNabb has been playing, and the Redskins, they're not a bad team. They're middle of the road. They're an 8-8 team, maybe. I see the Redskins winning this.
Yeah, Rick, who you liking this game?
Man, I'm going to have to go with my heart on this one. I have no love for the Redskins. My mind tells me that the Redskins are going to win, but it's just about two things you're going to get the same answer on just about every week. The Cowboys are going to win, and the Redskins are going to lose, period. I'm going with the Rams.
There you go.
I love you Cowboys fans. Y'all still stick with y'all heart.
You know what, Rick? You're preaching to the choir, my brother. You're preaching to the choir. I'm going with the Rams on this one, too. I even picked the Rams to win last week. I thought they would have a chance last week. but they got to get a win. I want Bradford to go ahead and get his W on the board. And above all, I got Steven Jackson on my fantasy team. He got to do something. He got to show me something. So I'm going with the Rams on this one.
Well, you got to remember, Rodney, this is not the same Washington Redskins. You got Mike Shanahan up there.
I am going with the Rams. The Redskins get nothing.
Dowie too gets one.
I'm going Rams on that one. Now, here's another Cowboys divisional opponent. We got the Philadelphia Eagles taking a trip out to Florida to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Actually, David Gerard got pulled last game, but had to go back in the game when the guy got hurt. So he had to go back in the game. So he will be starting in Jacksonville this week, and that's at Everbank Field. I think the Vic show keeps rolling. I like Vic. I like the way he's doing with the offense. I'm glad he's getting his chance to really show everybody what he can do. And I think Vic has a breakout, huge, huge game against Jacksonville on Sunday. So I'm going with the Eagles on this one. Rick, who you liking this game?
Yeah, man, as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to have to go with the Eagles. I don't like the Eagles at all, but it's not as much hate for them as it is the Redskins. Plus, I got a lot of love for Michael Vick. I hate the way they did that boy with them dogs. You know, I thought the boy did make a mistake out there, but I don't think they should have crucified that boy like that. You know, I'm happy to see he's out there doing his thing, and he's starting to look like the Michael Vick of old. He needs to go out there and keep that up. I'm going with the Eagles.
And Royce, who you liking the Eagles going out to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars?
Of course I'm going to go to the Eagles so they have a better record than the Cowboys.
Okay.
Man, that's hater talk, man. That's hater talk.
I'm with y'all tonight.
And then we got the Oakland Raiders, and who knows who's going to play quarterback for the Oakland Raiders this game. They're going against another team that who knows is going to play quarterback for them, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. Now, this is at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Arizona. Who you guys going to get this game to? Now, this is a coin flip for me, so you guys let me know who you picking on this game, Royce. You like the Raiders or the Cardinals?
I say the Raiders win their first game.
They're going to Arizona and finally pull out a win on the road.
Finally pull out their first win. Yes, I do. That's my third upset pick of the week.
That ain't an upset right there. That's a coin flip game right there. Rick, who you like on the Raiders against the Cardinals?
I agree with that last statement. That's my coin flip game of the week. You know, but since Arizona's playing at home and Oakland is just the worst team I've ever seen, I think that Arizona's going to pull that one out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And these are both 0-2 teams, if I'm not mistaken. They're both 0-2 teams, so someone's got to win this game, I guess.
I'm going to give it to the
Cardinals really? At home. Yeah,
I hope Oakland, you know, pull it out. I mean, I don't, you know, I've always kind of liked the Raiders, you know, just because it's classic football, the Oakland Raiders. I hope they're able to get out of this little rut that they're in, though.
Well, go with me, Rick. Go with me on that. Go with me on the Raiders. Come on, let's have two against one.
Okay, we can do the Raiders then. It's a coin flip game for me. It's a coin flip game. I think both of them terrible, but I'll give you that one. I don't mind.
And actually, I do need to be corrected because the Arizona Cardinals did beat the Rams earlier in the season, actually week one, so they do got a win up under their belt. So I'm still sticking with the Cardinals on this one, though, although they got trounced by Atlanta 41-7 last week. So maybe this will be my upset pick right here. We'll see what happens. And then you have also – in the late games, you got the San Diego Chargers, who we just found out today that Ryan Matthews, they thought were going to play, is not going to play in this game. They're going against the Seattle team. They really disappointed me last week. This is one of the six games I lost, is picking Seattle last week to win. So who you like in this game as far as the Chargers going up to Seattle to play the Seahawks? Rick, who you like this one?
I'm going with the Chargers. I think the Chargers are just a better team than the Seahawks. You know, period. The Seahawks, I mean, they got a new coach coming in, Pete Carroll. He's got to get in and get his feet wet a little bit. I don't think he's, you know, quite there yet. He's done it before and didn't really do a real good job when he did it with the Patriots, you know. So, you know, I'm going to have to go with the Chargers on this one.
Roy, so you liking this game?
Well, I like Bear River, but at the same time, San Diego's hurting on the receiving end. It still hasn't made some contact with that old boy. But I'm about to go with San Diego.
He might not even play this season with Vincent Jackson.
Right.
They can still trade him.
So they're struggling a little bit, but I'm going to still have to give a nod to San Diego. You got Phillip Rivers, you got a 10.
Yeah. I'm going with San Diego in this game, too. I think the Chargers will definitely pull it out. I think they'll roll against the Seahawks without a problem. I think that'll be no problem at all, even in Seattle. I know Pete Carroll tries to pull this college atmosphere around, and they did have a big game week one, and that was at home, too. So this could be a shocker for all of us, really, if Seattle does what they did in week one. So we never know what can happen. I mean, San Diego's lost on the road already to the Kansas City Chiefs, so this could be a coin flip game either way, depending on who you think is going to win this one. And then you got the Colts. They're going to continue to keep their ball rolling. On the road, they're going to Denver in the Vesco Field at Mile High to play the Broncos. Denver's coming off a huge win last week. Colts are coming off a huge win last week. Who do you guys like in this game? Rick, who you like in this game?
I'm going with the Colts. Peyton Manning, the best quarterback in the league, hands down. That's my opinion. I don't care what nobody else say about that. Peyton Manning is the one. Peyton Manning is that dude out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that, and that's a good topic for another show too. Because I know I love what Peyton Manning is doing out there. He's at the act of being a quarterback, being an offensive coordinator, being a team leader, being everything on the offensive side of the ball. So I agree with you 100% on that point. Now,
they really don't even need an offensive coordinator with that boy out there, man.
Peyton's
something special, bro.
I think I've seen Peyton Manning actually get down on one knee and draw a play up in turf before sometime. That's how bad
I think. Man, hold up. He probably did.
That's what I think about bad Peyton Manning is. Now, Royce, I know that you got a soft spot in your heart for Denver, and you always have, even going back to when I was just a twinkle in your eye. So you tell me who you like in this game. You like the Colts or you like the Broncos?
Are you kidding? Kyle Harden against Peyton Manning, got to go with Peyton Manning. And, you know, I'm not one of those devoted Cowboy fans. I do think. I do make decisions with my mind and not my heart. But I got to go with Peyton
Manning. Hey, that's just with the Redskins, man. Come on, man. The Redskins, they get nothing, man. I'm sorry. They get it's nothing. Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I grew up hating the Redskins too, but I'm a Shanahan fan, I'm a Donovan McNabb fan, so they do have two things in my favor. I look at them a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like them too, but if they ever want me to root for them, they need to go play with somebody else.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and pick the two games that everyone's going to get a chance to see, no matter where you live in the country. That's going to be the Sunday night game with the New York Jets coming off a big, big win against the Patriots, playing another divisional opponent in the 2-0 Miami Dolphins. I don't know really what to make of this Dolphins team just yet. I saw what they did to Minnesota in Minnesota. I was very impressed by the defense, even more so now for just picking out Brett Favre, which any defense could do, but for stopping Adrian Peterson six straight times at the goal line to run the ball in. It was huge for me. So I don't know how to really pick this game. My heart says the Jets keep rolling. They keep doing what they got to do. But this Miami team, I don't know. Have you guys seen this Miami team? Royce, what do you think about what Miami's been able to do at 2-0?
Right now, I watch Hard Knocks this summer. Ryan said they can kick anybody's butt. I'm going to take his word for it after what I saw from him last week. Sanchez growing up, becoming a man. I got to go with...
I forgot your love affair for Sanchez started last week. I do forget about that.
Right.
So you going with the Jets in this game?
Oh, of course. Yeah, got to go with him.
Rick, how you like this game shaking out with the Jets going to South Beach to play the Dolphins?
I'm going to have to go with the Jets, too. I'm kind of believing in the hype, you know. I mean, but I like the Jets defense. You know, I do think Sanchez could play a whole lot better, but I like the Jets defense, you know, and I like a coach that's going to get out there and say something like that about, you know, what's going to go on in a football game and expect his players to go out there and back that up. I like that. I'm going with the Jets.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the Jets right here, too. Now, I had a hard time picking the Jets, and I'll tell you why, because this Miami team, if y'all remember what they did last season, even the year before that when they actually – was it last year they actually won the division. But this team here plays hard. They pull out every trick in the book. And I know they're going to do the same thing against the Jets in Miami, especially being at a home field. And this game, the weather could play a factor. It could rain, as it always does in Florida. So this, I think, is going to be a really, really good, interesting game, a good game to have on Sunday night. Monday night we have another divisional game. It's going to be huge. The winner of this game is actually going to be leading the NFC North, both 2-0 teams. That's the Green Bay Packers going into Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears. Now, this is a good game. It's a good game to pick right here. This could really make or break your picks right here, this Green Bay and Chicago game. So, Royce, I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to let you pick this one here. You like the Packers or do you like the Bears?
You know, right now I look for the Packers. You know, they were my pick to go to the playoffs. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league. Donald Driver has always been a proven receiver. I got to go with the Green Bay Packers.
Rick, who you like in this game?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the Packers too. You know, I just don't think that Chicago team is really, you know, that good. I know they went out there and blasted the Cowboys, you know, in spurts, you know, but they did do enough to win the game. Green Bay, I think, is just a better team. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is that high on the quarterback list, you know, while I do think he's, you know, somewhere in that top 10 area. You know, he is pretty good quarterback, but, you know, they got a solid defense out there, you know, so Green Bay is going to take that win.
Now, this is going to be my upset pick right here. I'm going with the Bears to win a home game, Soldier Field, and go 3-0.
Wow.
Something about the Bears I saw when they played the Cowboys that I really, really like. I like Brian Lurie. I like her back on the defense. I like what they're doing. And for those, and if you didn't know, Jay Cutler's actually leading the league in quarterback rate right now. So he's really playing a lot better than he played any time last season. And I think Devin Hester is coming to his own as a receiver. They got Johnny Knox. They got defenses back. They got Matt Forte. And I think they really shock us all Monday night and beat the Packers. Because I don't think the Packers team is that good of a team.
We know right now, I think Aaron Rodgers' coming out party was against the Dallas Cowboys when Brett Favre went down. Am I mistaken?
That was true. That was true.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're trying to and, if you feel that way, then you should be picking the Bears. And you say Jay Cutler had a breakout game last week.
And Jay Cutler had a good game against you all. But as you better know, Jay Cutler is prone to interceptions. And I think that Green Bay defense will probably pick him off or give him pressure. You know, I didn't see a lot of pressure from the Cowboys when they played Dallas. They had all day to throw. I don't think Green Bay gives them a chance to sit back in that pocket and pick them apart. And I'm still going to pick Green Bay. That's my pick.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. It's Green Bay. Without question, Green Bay.
Well, I'm going with the Bears. So this could make or break and separate us right here.
Going it would be a surprise to me. Hey, Royce, there you go right there, man. It's 2-on-1 right there.
Yeah, it's the third time since we had the show.
No, you stole my Raiders a while ago. I mean, you stole put the Raiders on my list a while ago.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It'd be interesting to see how this turns out. But, of course, we all very well know on any given day, on any seventh Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. So,
yeah, without question.
This could very well be 8-8, you know, and I don't see any one team dominating. So, who knows? So, I went out on a limb picking Cleveland. You know, I could be right, I could be wrong. But like I said, on any given day, anybody can beat anybody. We really don't know. We're just kind of guessing. And we know how it's supposed to go, but y'all know how that works. Things don't always go the way you think they do.
That's true. And we still got one more game to pick the most important game on Sunday, and that's the Dallas and Houston game. This is going to be a tiebreaker game right here. So I need to hear your predictions for the Dallas and Houston game and also your score prediction as well. Because we always do this. And I lost terribly. I told the world they were going to hit 34 points last week, and they didn't get even close to that. So let me start it off. I got Dallas beating Houston in Reliance Stadium for a game that's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I think it's going to come down to – I'm going to give them 28 points to 21 in favor of Dallas. Rick, who you like? I know you like the Cowboys. So give me a score. What you think the score is going
to
be?
Yeah, I was pretty close to that, but I'm thinking 27 to 21, you know, but without question, the Cowboys. I think we need to get Royce's opinion on that.
27-17, Houston.
Okay,
I think y'all will. So I think y'all score at least 2 touchdowns. Now, the other 3 points are 17 questionable because of y'all kicker. I'm pretty sure he'll make one then, but I'd like for Houston to go 27-17 Houston.
Well, I got 27 because we get 4 touchdowns and he missed one of the field goals, one of the extra points. I said 27-21 because I think the Cowboys will get 4 touchdowns, but I think the kicker missed one of the extra points.
You think they're going to get 4 touchdowns on kickoff and punt return? Or you think the offense is going to score?
I mean, the offense is going to do that. Our defense might even get one.
Okay. All right. So it's 2-1 again.
Well, don't forget you still got the Texas fan that calls in every Tuesday. I know you're going to call in this Tuesday when we get the outcome for the game, so we're looking forward to that. But, yeah, I want to thank Rick. Thank you for coming on, man. You're always welcome on the show, as you know that.
Right on.
Your opinion all the time, well, especially going through NFL picking games, so I thank you for that, man.
Well, I have a question for both of y'all for Rick Lee.
Okay.
Last question.
Shoot.
Dallas Cowboys lose Sunday. Does Wade Phillips keep his job?
If the Dallas Cowboys lose Sunday, I think Wade Phillips will keep his job.
Rodney?
I think Wade Phillips won't be there next year either way it go. Now Jerry's not the type to pull the trigger during this. He's not the type to pull the trigger during the season. I don't think he'll do that. But stranger things have happened. And I said before earlier in the show, if you get Bill Cowell on the phone, Tony Dungy on the phone, John Gruden on the phone, you're fired away right away. I'm sorry. It could be an hour before the game. It could be halftime. But get rid of them and bring one of these guys in if they're ready to come in here and coach. But I don't think any one of those guys come into a team midway or start of a season and try to put anything together. They're one of those guys that got to have at least a training camp to get everybody familiar with their system. So with that said, I don't think he pulls the trigger. if they go 0-3. But I don't think that Wade Phillips will be coaching his team next year, regardless of the outcome. That's even with a Super Bowl win. I don't think he'll be coaching his team next year. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, well, what is he going to do? If he fires Wade, then what? Go with Jason Garrett? Jason Garrett, man, just as much of the blame as Wade.
Okay, does he fire anybody? Kicker?
No, he might make an example out of somebody, fire the special teams coach or something, and then go out and get a kicker. So he might do something like that. But, I mean, if he gets rid of Wade, he's getting rid of his defensive coordinator and his head coach. And Jason Garrett's going to have to lead the ship. It would make absolutely no sense for him to do that. You better get Cowher and tell Cowher to chill out for a minute, and I'll give you some money as soon as this year is up. I don't care what happened, but I'll pay you, and you know I'll take care of you. Chill out.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think Wade will be here next year regardless of the outcome. If you can let Jimmy go after winning your two Super Bowls, I know you can let Wade Phillips go after winning your one or disappointing you in your own home stadium. Because I think once if Jerry ends up watching the Super Bowl and no Cowboys are there in Cowboys Stadium, someone's going to get fired. I can tell you that.
Okay,
right.
Say the Cowboys go below 500 at the halfway mark. Do you make a quarterback change?
Nope. Not at all. Jerry Jones loved Tony Romo. Jerry Jones paid that boy some money. Even if Tony Romo was just terrible out there, Jerry Jones wouldn't go back on what he did. You can look at the same situation with Roy Williams. It's not happening. Jerry Jones, and they love Tony Romo around here. There's no way, absolutely no way. Tony Romo is going to be playing. As long as he's healthy, he's out there. He can average 3 interceptions a game for the rest of the year.
And Jerry's another type of guy to admit a mistake pretty easily. He's not going to do that. He's not going to admit a mistake like that, like paying a guy like Romo or Miles Austin or DeMarcus Ware and give up on him like that. He's going to ride with Romo until we can't ride Romo no more. But I think if they do go under 500 or go 500, 8-8, then I will hope that he draft a quarterback and get some competition in here in some kind of way, because I think he's got to do something.
Okay, so if he draft a quarterback, he's not riding Romo. And Jerry also likes to win. Don't take for granted that Jerry don't want to win football games. He's not going to be satisfied with a losing season or losing ball club.
Oh, he's not. Like, I agree with that totally. I agree with that totally. But Jerry Jones wants to win, but he wants to win his way. And he's going to put people in place so he can do it his way. And he's not going to admit mistakes. Everybody know, man. I don't think that Roy Williams should have been cut. You know, I can't say that. If you was going to cut him, this year would have been the best year to do it. I guess with that salary cap situation, this would have been the best year to do that. But, you know, he chose to keep him on the team. You know, and everybody know, if it was everybody know, Dez Bryant, he need to be out there. He need to be out there. We don't need to see Roy Williams that much like that, although Roy Williams has been out there having a pretty nice year so far. He's been catching the balls that's coming his way. He's been doing that. I just don't think he's better than Dez Bryant. I believe in the rookie, bro.
Let's welcome in another caller real quick to join the discussion. I know they have an opinion on the Cowboys real quick, so let me bring him in real fast. 6037, you're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. I know you got a comment about the Cowboys. What's your comment about the Cowboys and possibly going 0-3?
Well, I just put you like this, man. I agree with the comment that was made that Jerry Jones wants to win his way, and at the end of the day, that's what's being displayed, man. I mean, I can't say he's the world's worst owner. He does give the fans something to root about, but I think he winds up disappointing us more than anything. You know, because we haven't established a go-to receiver yet this year, man, and Witten is gone, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, if we run the ball for 200 yards or more, we'll win. If not, we're 0-3.
200? That's a lot.
Now,
I can't.
Miles Austin has been playing. Now, don't discount what Miles has done on the field. He's been averaging about 10 catches a game. He's been over 100 yards in both games, too. So don't discount what Miles Austin is doing on the field. I mean, you can't say it's not the offense putting up the numbers, but they're just not getting the touchdowns. And part of that reason is the fact that we're not running the ball. We got three good backs and not running the ball. But do you honestly see, Carla, that this team is going to be 0-3? Are we going to be having a funeral on the Tuesday show for the Cowboys?
You know, on any given Sunday, man, anybody can beat anybody. Huh. But as far as those Cowboys go, man, I can't lean either direction. I've seen nothing that leads me to believe that the team has improved or will improve. I mean, hey, we are playing the Texans, and I mean, you know, not that they're Super Bowl bound, but mentally I think that they're better than we are right now.
Now, why is it that they have all these, Romo has all these numbers, and to me, the sideline to sideline numbers, and they're not downfield numbers, and they can't put the ball in over the goal line. You know, that don't mean nothing if you don't score touchdowns. You can throw for 500 yards and not have any points. So,
I mean, you know, this is the same thing I said about the Colts a couple of years ago. You know, when the Patriots just kept smashing them as he was having these all-star seasons. You know, I really think Tony Romo, and you can hate me for saying this, but right now he's looking like the Dirk Nowitzki of the NFL.
I agree with that.
Right-o. Hey, Carla, tell us what you think about the Cowboy defense. I know you got some faith in that defense. Come on now.
The defense is not the problem, although I would like to see better play, you know, from the cornerbacks. You know, in my opinion, I think that has really been the problem. You know, we just get toasted or get beat on critical plays sometimes, but the defense stays on the field too long. You know, that's simply put.
I agree with you. They do stay. They stay out there too long. That goes back to what I was saying earlier about the offense. The offense needs to get out there and sustain some drives, man. They need to put some points on the board. And when you put points on the board, it makes it easier. You make another team one-dimensional. Now they want to get out there and just pass the ball all the time. We can just pin our ears back and go for it and get some sacks.
Well, you know, I think teams have
figured. It sounds to me like we got some interesting viewpoints. The Dirk Nowitzki point was a good point to make. That is a good equivalent, especially here in the Dallas area, because we put a lot of faith in Dirk. We put Dirk up on a pedestal, but he just can't follow through. We put Romo up on a pedestal, and I'll be honest about Romo too. I'm not a Romo fan. I'm more of a Cowboy fan than I am a Romo fan. But Romo's our quarterback, and I trust Jerry. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Jerry, but I trust Jerry. And if Jerry's selling it, then I'm buying it. This is how I am. I'm a Jerry fan. And I think Jerry is one of the best owners in any pro sport. Because one thing Jerry's going to do, he's going to put the team on the field that can win. That's one thing.
I'm not scared to spend the money. The man is not scared to spend the money. He will open up his pocketbook for you, man. I like that.
Let me say this. You say you trust Jerry, but do you trust Tony Romo? I mean, the last couple of years he's let you down. It's okay to trust Jerry, but do you trust Tony Romo? What has he done for you in the last couple of years? He's let you down.
I mean, Tony Romo, man, the thing that Tony Romo does really well, you know, are the same things that's kind of bad for the team. I mean, let's be honest about it. Romo, in my opinion, is a really, really good quarterback. I think he's top 10 easy. I mean, and to be honest with you, after you take your Mannings and your Drew Brees and Tom Brady, you know, Romo could fit in there with anybody else. You know, Romo is a really, really good quarterback, but sometimes he get out there, he gets a little spotty on the field, and he makes a few decisions that he shouldn't make that kind of pin us in a hole sometimes. And that's the problem with that situation. But at the same time, he'll break out of a play, make it one of those playground plays or something like that, and end up getting something big for us. That's why you can't take it away from
him. I disagree. I have to interject on that. You know, number one, you cannot trust Jerry Jones. Any man that would let Jimmy Johnson go, any man that would hold out on paying Michael Irvin, any man that would fight Emmitt Smith on getting his money, that man doesn't do what it takes to get the team. I mean, you had Randy Moss wanting to come play for us. I just personally feel like that Jerry Jones is a little bit too intricately involved in every part of the Cowboys playing on the field. You know, you just stay in that box and you let the people that you hire do what they do. You don't come down and destroy.
That's a very good point. I agree with you there. I agree with you there totally. You know, I like Jerry Jones, the owner, but I don't like Jerry Jones, the GM. That's the way I look at it.
Well, you know what? Looks like he has to come down to get the team motivated. Every time he comes down, he's the only one on the sideline I see trying to fire up the team. And let me tell y'all something about Dallas history. They may bend, they may stop the short pass, but every Cowboy team has been beaten deep. Y'all cannot stop deep threats. That's the Cowboy history. Look at the history of the Cowboys. They can't stop.
And what does that go back to? What does that go back to? The cornerbacks. I'm telling you.
And that's not history. That's not history either, because it wasn't like that when we had Prime back there. Calm down.
When y'all had Ron Williams, y'all got beat. Cowboys cannot stop what they do.
You're so right about that. Roy Williams was terrible out there, man. He was good for those first 2 or 3 years, man. And after that, it was nothing.
Well, there's no true leadership on the field, and I don't know who wants to be the true leader. But, you know, if you replace players every year, you never get a chemistry.
Right. True.
Well, that's true, too. But I'm still confident the Cowboys are going to pull this win out. Call me psychotic. Call me whatever you want. Call me insane. But I think they really make a statement in this game. I think all this talk, I think Tuesday we're going to be talking about what they're going to do next, because they're going to win this game. They're going to have a statement game against the Texans. And that's what this team does. They're good at causing a panic on everybody. And then next thing you know, they win a big game. Then they win another big
game. We just don't know which one's going to show up.
That's it. But I think they're going to show up. I think they know they have to show up. This time, I think you got players calling players meetings. You got Wade Phillips coming on the air today saying he knows it's a 911 situation. Everyone knows that something's got to be done. So I think we get their best effort on Sunday. I think we get a W. Period. And I hope Jerry comes on the sideline, stay down there the whole damn game. I hope he does, because ain't nothing like having the pressure of the person that writes your check in your face. Ain't nothing like that kind of pressure. So I hope he come down there and say the whole damn game. I hope he calls some plays, too.
But that's not what I'm going to
say the whole game. He ain't going to say the whole game. We know Jerry, he got to make his grand entrance.
I would take a bullet for the Cowboys, but I would not bet the house mortgage on them winning this game.
Right. I had a player today saying they're not worried. And you hear the guys laughing in the background. I mean, you know, what kind of attitude is that? Yeah, you should be worried. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you should be worried.
We're going to get together attitude. You know,
this ain't no gimme game.
Right.
This is not a gimme game. The Cowboys need to go out there and take that game. I just think the Cowboys can do it. But then, you know, I have to be real with y'all. I mean, that's both my mind and my heart. You know, I'm going to always go with the Cowboys in this situation. You know, I just think the Cowboys got they got too many good players, man. They one of these days it's gonna click. I just hope it's not too late. And when it click, it's gonna be a wrap. It's gonna be a wrap, I'm telling y'all.
It's gonna be a good game. I know all of us are gonna be watching, the whole world gonna be watching. But I wanna thank everybody for calling in on the show today. That's our time. Now y'all make sure y'all tune in on Tuesday. and Thursdays from 9 to 11, same time, same channel. I want to thank our callers for calling in. Rick, I want to thank you for calling in. Big shout-out to Icebreaker Productions. Y'all check out their radio show, too. There's some partners of ours. Or check out their site, IcebreakerProductions.com. Check that out, too. But thank y'all for tuning in. We see y'all on Tuesday when the Cowboys win. And go Cowboys. And we signing off from RF Sports Radio Show. See y'all next week.